Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. As you map out your life plan, here's a career to consider. Hi friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom, and we are on our second article of the year and of this month, January. My name is Naomi, and I'm excited that you're back with us today for our career article this month. It's a pretty interesting look at a certain guy with a very unique job, and we'll find out about how he started on it, why he loves it, how he has become really an expert in his field throughout this article. So I hope that you'll stay tuned and open up your magazines to page 14 to follow along. Now, while you're finding the place, let me introduce the rest of our panelists for today. First of all, welcome Carolyn.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be here.
Good. Now, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about the life of a map artist.
Okay, so let's just first back up to the idea of maps. We are probably all a little bit fascinated by maps. Did you ever have that experience when you were young?
Well, growing up, I read a lot of storybooks, and several of them would have maps drawn in them to give you a better idea of the world you were looking at.
And did you enjoy those?
I usually actually tried to ignore them because I wanted to make my own map in my head.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so
yes.
That's a good point. With fiction especially, sometimes, you know, like there's not really one right way to do it, right? To map it out.
And then if I couldn't develop my own map that I thought was sufficient, then I would look at the map they gave me. And it's like, okay, well, that kind of fits too.
Yeah, right. One of my favorite books has a map in it, and it always makes me smile. The first time I read the book, it's called The Princess Bride.
Oh.
And the map is just, it's very funny. And all these little scenes that I remembered from the story would pop up, and you think, oh, that's where that was. And it's very fun to kind of explore that. Also with us in the studio is Nathaniel.
Yes, it is Nathaniel. I'm here.
And are you a fan of maps?
I am. I like looking at, like, subway maps, getting around a new city. I kind of really enjoy doing that. But also, and you know, when you're traveling from place to place, I kind of like those. I remember looking at maps in the back of a Bible. Some Bibles have maps, and you know, that traces where a person in the Bible goes. That's really interesting too.
I agree. And one of the interesting things too about that, about Bible maps or even historical maps, is this idea of how a map can actually change over time.
Mm-hmm.
So something that was true, you know, 2,000 years ago changed 1,000 years later, and then again 500 years after that. So I always find that really fascinating. And I remember we had encyclopedias, you know, before the days of the internet when I was young, and we had to look things up in this book. And, of course, I grew up in Canada, and there was a big map of Canada, and it had these plastic overlays that you could put down, and it would show you the geography, it would show you the agriculture and the population and all these little bits of information that you could kind of explore. And I would spend hours looking at that thing.
Yeah, the fascinating stuff when they have the, you know, the extra layers you can put on top of the map. Yeah, lots of good fun there.
Yeah, but even today I like pulling out the atlas. We have a big one here at Studio Classroom. And sometimes when we're talking about a new place or if there's an article about somewhere we're not very familiar with, maybe we'll pull down the atlas and look up that map and start exploring what's it next to, right?
Oh, yeah. I love to be talking to someone about a country and it's like, oh, well, I don't know exactly where that is. Let me pull out my iPod and check where it is on my atlas because I downloaded an atlas app.
Yes.
So that I can look up all the different countries and, oh, it's in Southern Africa and, oh, what can I learn about this country?
Right. Yeah. Now, I do automatically go to, you know, websites like Google Maps or so on, and I look at those maps, but they're not very artistic.
No, I mean, it's kind of, we might say, plain Jane, just what the basics that you might need, that's what they are, not much else. That's
right.
True.
So have you ever seen, like, an illustrated map before?
Yes, I do remember when I was younger and when I've been older reading some books with, you know, imaginative, created maps, and those are fun to trace the story with.
Yep, but sometimes even in places where we're not talking about fictional lands, even outside of the fantasy realm, sometimes there are illustrated maps. You might have seen illustrated maps in museums. They're quite beautiful. But did you know that it's still an art form? Well, today we're going to meet a map artist. So please join us on page 14 for our first reading.
The Life of a Map Artist. From Doodles to Cartography, Plotting a Career Choice. Long before GPS systems became a mainstay of the modern world, explorers and daydreamers collected maps as portals to other worlds, visual reminders of roads yet to be taken. For many, there is a short path between loving maps as tools and cherishing them as art. And once that bridge is crossed, the search is on for true map artists, cartographers who blend artistic talent and personal perspective into the most desirable map of all, one suitable for framing. To that end, meet Christopher Allen Smith. A seventh-generation Texan, graphic designer and self-described map nerd with a long-standing interest in military history, Smith, who lives near Austin, Texas, began his journey to cartography when, as a child, he became entranced by his father's hand-drawn Army reconnaissance maps of Vietnam. He remembers staring at them for hours, keenly aware that they represented another place and time. About the same time, a grandfather's gift of a world atlas further fueled Smith's sense that maps were a time machine for the imagination.
Hi, friends. If you're just tuning in, we're on page 14 of your Advanced magazine, and we're talking about the life of a map artist. I'm Naomi in the studio with Carolyn and Nathaniel. And how do we start off this article? There's a few interesting words there in the deck, aren't there?
Yeah, I love these words. From doodles to cartography, plotting a career choice. And so doodles, when I think of doodles, I think of the little pictures that you draw in the corner of your notebook when you aren't paying attention in class.
Yeah, absolutely. And doodling can be something that anyone does, and it can actually be quite useful, too. But often doodles are very, very basic, right? But then we go sort of to the other extreme, don't we?
Yeah, cartography. That's really making, drawing, and designing maps, which is what this whole article is about. And it takes a lot of precision. You have to be very exact doing this. So it is very much the opposite of doodling.
Right. Now, so from this very simple extreme to the very complicated one, we are plotting a career choice. Now, why do we say plotting?
Well, it's kind of a play on words here because plot has a couple of different meanings. The first is to think of something, to make a plan. Mm-hmm. You can have also a plot in a story. It's the plan for the story,
right,
and
so,
what's going to happen.
So if you're plotting a career choice, you could just be planning what you want to do.
Right. But plot is also a map term, which means to mark or draw something on a map.
Right. So we might talk about plotting a course on a map, especially if you're maybe taking a trip, maybe you're traveling, you know, by bicycle or by boat, and you need to make a precise plan of exactly where you'll go when. You can plot the points that you'll stop at and that you'll, you know, get a meal at on your map. So it's a fun way to introduce this career. And now we go back in time a little bit.
Yes, long before GPS systems were going that far back, it became a mainstay of the modern world. Explorers and daydreamers collected maps as portals to other worlds.
Okay, so GPS systems, of course, are the latest in mapping technology, right?
Yes, in America especially. I haven't seen them as much in Asia, but I think they are here too. In your car, you might have a GPS that tells you where to turn, where to go as you're driving your car, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so these are a mainstay, aren't they?
Yes, we rely on them, and they're very, very common. So we use them for our important activities like driving to work or going to the store. So, yeah.
Right. A lot of people really do rely on their GPS these days. They probably couldn't get around without them. So they are very important to us these days. But as Nathaniel was reading, there were people who actually collected maps. So we talk about different kinds of collections, and it's always fun to hear about someone's, you know, baseball card collection or stamp collection or music collection. But here it's a different kind of collection.
Yeah, collecting maps. And the idea here is they're portals to other worlds, or like a special door into another country or another place. That's kind of what this portal means here. And yeah, that's kind of a unique collection to have, but it's very interesting too.
And I love that they talk about it in this way, that they are portals to other worlds. It seems like a map is like a window that you can sort of crawl through and explore this other place. How else do they describe it?
They say that it is also a visual reminder of roads yet to be taken.
Mm.
So places that you haven't explored yet, but maybe you hope to go there in the future.
Right. So sometimes people will have a map and they'll sort of put little pins on it. And you can do this virtually as well, where you say, I've been here and I've been here. Ooh, and I want to go here, here, and here. And it's a fun way to sort of say, you know, here's the world and here's what I've seen of it. So how do we continue?
For many people, there is a short path between loving maps as tools and cherishing them, really caring for them and valuing them as art.
Right. So a lot of people who love to travel and who rely on maps as a mainstay for their travel habit, they might enjoy using maps to decorate as well. But cherishing them as art, that seems even stronger. And how do we continue?
And once that bridge is crossed, the search is on for true map artists.
The search is on.
Yes, so they have to begin a quest and start searching for a map that is worthy of being collected.
Okay, so if I just bought a road map at, you know, a 7-Eleven and I framed it, it wouldn't really be art, right?
That's not really that special. It's kind of on this flimsy paper, and the details aren't that accurate. It's not that special of a map, sorry.
Right. I mean, it's just a map, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could find the same one online. You could buy it for a cheap price. But some people do something a bit more with maps.
Yeah, cartographers, people who make maps, they blend artistic talent and personal perspective blend, of course, like a mix here. We talk about blender. You can throw stuff into it and mixes it up. It chops it up into little pieces and puts it all together. Yeah.
Yeah. So they are blending that artistic talent and personal perspective, which is really interesting. And that's something we'll keep exploring in this article. But they're blending those things to create the most desirable map, the one that everyone will want. And what makes it so desirable?
It is one that is suitable for framing. So it's such a detailed and beautiful map that you want to put it in a frame and hang it on your wall like art.
Right. If I frame my convenience store map, most people will think, oh, she must still be in college or something. You know, like it seems like a very low budget way to decorate. But if you have a really beautiful map that you are framing for your home, then it's this idea that it can actually be art. And some people do create this kind of art. And so to that end, or in other words, just like we're talking about this whole process, who are we introduced to?
This cartographer artist named Christopher Alan Smith.
Mm-hmm. And you can see a picture of him there on page 15. He is an actual cartographer, and we're going to learn all about him and his career. And we begin with a little bit of a biography of this guy.
Yes, so he is a seventh generation Texan, which means that his family has lived in Texas for seven generations.
Okay, now from what I understand, none of us have been to Texas, but it seems like people from Texas sort of have a particular pride in their home state. They really feel strongly about it, and there has been a lot of history from throughout the years in Texas, a lot of conflict, actually, as well. So you can look that up if you want a little more information. But if his family has been in that region for this long, he must have a pretty interesting family history as well. But what else is true about Christopher Alan Smith?
He is also a graphic designer and a self-described, he describes himself as, a map nerd. Nerd is an interesting word. It's kind of changed in meaning. Today, I think nerd could mostly be defined as someone who knows a lot and is very enthusiastic about a certain subject.
Right. Nerd used to be a real insult.
Yeah.
But I think people have sort of taken ownership of the term.
They sure
and,
have.
Yeah, now it's sort of like you can brag a bit about being a nerd about something. Like, oh, I really love that, so I'm this kind of nerd. So I could say, well, I'm a bit of a classical music nerd. Most people don't know that much about it, but I really like it. This guy is a map nerd. So he loves maps, and he has a long-standing interest in military history. So if you have a long-standing interest in something, it means it has continued for a very long time. So now that we've described him a little bit, we get to the subject of the sentence, Smith himself.
Yes, it says, Smith, who lives near Austin, Texas, began his journey to cartography when, as a child, he became entranced. Ooh, he became entranced by his father's hand-drawn army reconnaissance maps of Vietnam.
Whoa.
So he had a very interesting childhood.
Okay, so first, Nathaniel, tell me about these maps.
Yeah, these maps are things that his own father drew, and perhaps his father was in the Vietnam War. I guess it's not really stated here, but it's very possible. And reconnaissance maps, if you look at your specialized terms there, it says that's the process of getting information about a place for the military. That's reconnaissance, so a map is one developed by the military.
Right, so his father must have been stationed over there in Vietnam
yeah.
and had to basically get information about places and draw it himself
mm-hmm.
to share with the rest of the people in his unit so that they could carry out their missions in that area. So it's a pretty fascinating thing. For him, it was actually entrancing.
Yes, so it was something that put him in a trance. He became obsessed almost with it,
yeah.
that he had to focus completely on it
mm-hmm.
and lost himself in this map.
Yeah, you can almost see his eyes just sort of going into spirals like, wow. What's pretty amazing to me, too, is that a lot of people who were involved in this war would not have held on to that kind of thing because it was very traumatic for a lot of people.
Mm.
And so for many people, they would want to get rid of anything that had to do with the war. So the fact that his father actually kept these maps, I think, is also quite unique, pretty special. And so for Christopher Alan Smith, this was something that really enchanted him, that really got his attention. And so what did he do?
Yeah, this next sentence kind of describes how it entranced him. He remembers staring at these maps for hours, keenly aware. So that's keenly is kind of like being sensitive to something, keenly aware that they represented another place and time. It goes back to that portal idea. He looks at these maps and he goes to Vietnam.
Yes, and I think this is one of the interesting things about historical maps
mm-hmm.
is that, of course, a map is almost always showing you a different place from where you are at that moment. But to show another time as well is pretty amazing, actually. And so at about the same time, something else happened.
Yes, at about the same time, a grandfather's gift of a world atlas further fueled Smith's sense that maps were a time machine for the imagination.
Ooh. Okay, so can you explain, we've talked about atlases already today, but can you explain a little more clearly what they are?
Well, so his grandfather gave him a world atlas, which is a very large map, probably a book. It's capitalized, so the world atlas would be a book filled with maps of different parts of the world. And you can flip through the pages and just explore the whole world in this book.
Mm-hmm. And so this gift fueled Smith's sense. If you fuel something, it's like adding gas to it. It's creating more energy there. It's pushing it forward, giving momentum to it.
Yeah. What interests me about this is that these maps are not really art. his father might have been drawing these, you know, out of really a kind of need mm-hmm. to know and for other soldiers to know. But he saw these things and saw much more mm-hmm. than what his father had simply done. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that final phrase, a time machine for the imagination. Let's find out more in our second reading.
Plotting the right course. A love of maps, talent as a designer, it would seem the transition into a map artist would be an easy course to plot. In fact, the evolution of Smith's style, the almost fanatical amount of detail in the hand-lettered snippets of text and cameo portraits of historic figures in his work involved years of trial and error. He sat down to draw his first map in 2005. I had no plan. I was just doodling, he says. What he first thought was going to be a game board, influenced by the world domination game Risk, soon evolved into something more. By the third sketch, Smith realized that what he wanted to create was, in fact, a map. That one, of the Republic of Texas, took more than 2 years to perfect and is now Smith's most collected work.
So we talked earlier about plotting a course or plotting a career, and here we are witnessing the plotting of Christopher Alan Smith's career. And so he has this love of maps and he has this talent as a designer. So those are two real key points here. And our article says that you would think it would be easy to move on from there.
Yes, it would seem the transition into a map artist would be an easy course to plot. And it says, yes, in fact, the evolution of Smith's style and almost fanatical amount of detail. Ooh. So here he is fanatical about the detail he puts into his maps. And fanatical means that the admiration for something is extreme or almost unreasonable.
Good. Okay. So that's where the word fan comes from, right? If you're a fan of something, it means you're just crazy about it. But let's back up just for a second. Mm-hmm. This is one of those sentences that can be a little confusing. So we sort of need to take the bits between the commas first. So the basic sentence is, the evolution of Smith's style involved years of trial and error. We'll get to that in a minute. But we're describing the evolution or the growth of Smith's style in that next little part. So like you said, a fanatical amount of detail. Detail in what?
Detail in the hand-lettered snippets of text as well as cameo portraits of historic figures. So he's kind of writing things in his own style, this hand-lettered bits of text, snippets of text, about the same, and cameo portraits, maybe not completely accurate to someone's appearance, but, you know, close, these things that he designs himself as art.
Okay, so first of all, those hand-lettered snippets of text, of course, calligraphy is an art form in itself, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, so calligraphy is handwriting with a brush pen, usually a bamboo pen, and beautiful Chinese characters. Just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Okay, but calligraphy can be Western as well. Mm-hmm. It just means, again, that you're taking text rather than pictures and kind of really paying attention to how you put them on the paper. And so that is definitely an art form already. But then also these cameo portraits. Now, usually when I think of a cameo, I think of a picture where the sort of just the outline of someone's face is visible, sort of the back of their head and the front, sort of a side view. And it's usually all dark. You don't see any detail. You don't see their eyes. You don't see their hair. You just see the outline of what they would look like kind of as a shadow.
Tell you what I think of when I hear cameo. I think of a very small part in a movie that a very famous person takes. Someone just shows up. You're like, oh, yeah, look, they're in this movie. And then they're very quickly gone again.
Sure. Good. Okay, so both of those definitions kind of could apply here. Basically, these different characters have this sort of little appearance on the map. And we see an example of that here on page 14. If you look at that big map at the top, the Battlefield Civil War map, you can see little tiny portraits of all these important characters from that period of time. And those are cameo portraits. So that's an example of the kind of artwork that is involved in these maps. But all of that style, it involved years of trial and error. What does that mean?
Trial and error means that you try to do something and you make mistakes, but then you try again and then you make some more mistakes, but you continue to learn from them.
Right. So how long has Christopher Alan Smith been learning about this process?
Well, in the next paragraph, we see that he sat down to draw his first map in 2005. So not maybe as long as we might have thought. Not that long ago. And he says, I had no plan. I was just doodling.
Okay. So back to doodling. You can see here that we're using it as a verb. It can be a noun, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just drawing something very, very basic. And that's what he did at the beginning. He was just trying things out. What did he sort of intend to create?
Well, at first, he was drawing what he thought was going to be a game board. And it was loosely based on or influenced by the world domination game Risk.
Okay, I don't really play Risk. Nathaniel?
I have played some. I'm not the best player, for sure. But in this game, which is very much a strategy game, you're trying to take over the world, and you are kind of occupying different countries with your soldiers, with your army.
Okay, so the actual board of the board game is a map, right?
It is a map, yeah. Kind of unusual looking for us today, but I guess supposedly at some time it might have been accurate.
Okay. All right. So it's a bit of a historical map, and I could see how that could fit well into Smith's love of maps and history and art. And so he was sort of influenced by that, but it evolved. It changed into something more.
Yes. By the third sketch, Smith realized that what he wanted to create was, in fact, a map. So he didn't actually want to draw a game board. He wanted to draw a real map.
Right. And so a sketch is a very basic drawing. Often an artist will create a sketch before they start to paint or before they start to add color. They might do several sketches to help figure out exactly what they want to create. And so by the third sketch, he thought, wait a second, I don't want to make a game board. I want to make a map. And so what was this map?
This map was one of the Republic of Texas, which calling Texas a republic just shows, you know, all the history that is behind Texas. At one time, it was called the Republic of Texas.
Right. So from that, we know that it's a historical map. And it took more than 2 years to perfect. Oops, that's a verb here, isn't it?
Yes. This is not perfect. It's perfect. So the accent, the emphasis on those syllables is a little bit different. And it means to make something perfect.
Exactly. So it's a beautiful map. Actually, now it's Smith's most collected work. It's his most popular one. To find out more about exactly how he creates these maps tomorrow, please join us for that. We'll see you then.